the Mobile 5280 Studios. This is the Weekend Geek Update Special Report. Smurf here, along with longtime listener, second-time caller...
David Boop.
David Boop, who is a local author, extraordinaire, panelist. I mean, your list and resume is freaking huge.
I'm huge.
Huge. Look at him. He's a living celebrity.
Yeah, I dabble in a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, over the years, acting, been a DJ, been an actor. You know, I said that twice, didn't I?
Well, you did it so good you had to say it twice.
Well, you know, it's because really that's all anybody cares about is if you've been an actor, if you've been in something, then they care more than what I do, which is actually write fiction. You know, the girls go crazy for the actors, as you can see here at Starfest.
Yes, we're fighting them back. We've got Rebecca with her Harley mallet beating them off.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to come up to you.
Okay, and I'm not going to say anything on that. We'll just leave that one out there for the listeners.
We'll just leave it to the mind's eye. So it's been a while since we've had you on. I mean, yes. It was like season one of the old site that we had you on.
Yeah, back at, I think it was DCC 1 or 2.
Yeah, so it's been a small lifetime. What's new?
Well, quite a bit, actually. I've been doing a lot of media tie-in work, which is great because that gives you... exposure that you don't get elsewhere. I had a Black Bat anthology come out. Black Bat, the predecessor to both Batman and Daredevil. And, of course, right now, both of those guys are very popular. So people are looking back and saying where these guys come from. And Black Bat is the inspiration, really, for both of them.
Have you been watching, like, the Daredevil shows or Gotham or anything? What's your take? Are you enjoying it?
Oh, this is a renaissance for superheroes right now. Almost to the point of oversaturation, but not quite, because most of it's still pretty darn good. What they're doing with Daredevil, making comic books for serious adults, and then everything from what the Arrow and the Flash, which are, you know, adults that still want that comic book feel, to the stuff they're doing for kids is just amazing. It's like it's made superheroes relevant within society again. It's good because I've had some superhero fiction come out as well. Right now, everybody's just clamoring for anything with powers.
I've noticed that. I mean, and I was sad to see heroes not get renewed.
Well,
which doesn't make sense to me.
Well, don't count it out yet. One of the things that happened with Heroes Reborn, which was very, very good, is the idea that there were some people that felt like it didn't reboot enough. It was still so firmly set in the old universe that if you had not been a Heroes fan coming into it, you were a little bit lost.
I was a fan and I was still lost. 'Cause, I mean, I kept wondering what happened to Bennett's daughter. And I'm like, you know, how she could grow a limb back and she's dead.
Well, you know, and...
I don't know. We don't want to give any spoilers.
No, actually, I
thought it was a well-done series.
Yeah, I thought they did it. They did a really good job. And Tim Kring is not giving up on it yet. One of the reasons I'm connected with it is I've co-written with Peter Wax, who did with Kevin J. Anderson one of the novellas that came out for Heroes Reborn, so which is fabulous. I highly recommend all the Heroes Reborn novellas if you're a fan. The novellas did a really good job of tying loose ends between the old series and the new series. Keith Candido did one. Kevin and Peter did one. Just really good stuff. And, of course, I've written with Peter. We do the Veronica Mars, and we've already had one Veronica Mars come out. We're doing the editing process of doing our second Veronica Mars right now. So it's all good.
So are we going to see more on the Veronica Mars front? Because I know they did the fan, or not even fan film. I mean, they did the film.
The
that
feature
was,
film.
And that was actually... rather enjoyable.
It answered a lot of questions people had wanted after the end of the series, since he was not able to get his fourth season that he really wanted. What's happening in Veronica Mars right now is Kindle Worlds, which is a kind of an authorized fan fiction. Kindle Worlds is doing tie-in work for Veronica Mars. So if you go to your Kindle or you go to Amazon, you can find stories that are happening before and after the TV series, during the series. Not the movie, though, because they don't have the rights to do the movie, but everything else. And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of great new places to go with the Veronica Mars characters. So that's been real popular. Of course, iZombie, which is his current project.
His baby.
Oh, my God, that's so much fun. There are, and I actually, there was just one episode that had so many in-jokes for both Veronica Mars and other series that Rob's been involved with and stuff like that. I just, every day, it's like candy. I just cannot get enough of, I guess it would be really hot, spicy candy for hot those of you guys who watch it. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Now, have you watched much of the iZombie series?
Oh, every episode. I have to go, like, right in. Yeah, I have it, like, DVR'd, and it's the first thing I go to. It doesn't matter what else is on the DVR. iZombie, I go right to it, so.
It has been. I was surprised when I heard they were going to do it, just because knowing the comic book from the Vertigo line, like I do, same with Lucifer, another one that I was not expecting to be as entertaining as they are. And I honestly think, and we were talking on another podcast about this, I think it's the acting, because Liv is absolutely brilliant in the role as the zombie.
Well, and you take a look at her, and I can't think of the actress's name, but the one who does Orphan Black.
Yes. I never can remember her
They're
name.
They're tasked with a baculant effort of
Good
having
word.
To baculant effort.
That's why I love interviewing authors.
Is to have to be a different person every single week and convince us that not only are they themselves, but then they're also this other person.
Yes.
So, you know, with Orphan Black, we have the clones, and every clone has to be distinct, but actually all come from that same source material.
Right.
And Liv on iZombie, you know, every time she eats a brain, she's somebody else. Mm-hmm. And male, female, I mean, that was one of the things that
when
made...
When she played the male role, and she's like, smacking people, I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh, yeah. You know, just as an actor, that has got to be one of the best things you can do is get a role.
Oh,
like
there
that.
It is. Tatiana Maisley?
Yeah.
For
yep,
Orphan Black.
Yep.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah. And for them, that's got to be like the ultimate role. It's like, I'm never going to get bored with this character.
Yes.
Because every week it's going to be somebody
else.
Well,
I mean, and it's like Quantum Leap.
That's why I said Baculin. Yeah.
I mean, it's just every week, what are you going to get? And it's enjoyable. Mm. Now, as an author, what would be your dream job? I mean, who would you want to write for? Or what would you ultimately say... This is where I could die happy, or this is on my bucket list.
There's one title that everybody knows that I would literally give a limb. I'm short. I wouldn't give my firstborn child, but I'm at second or third.
Third's easily. I mean, you're going to let him juggle knives anyway. So
yeah,
what the hell?
You know, and I need in my lifetime before I die to write an Indiana Jones novel. That is what I want to write more than anything else in the world.
I do remember reading like the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles all of that. Those books were great.
The novels that they did for Indiana Jones, and I'm not gonna say anything against the authors whatsoever. They were given certain directives,
or not given directives. Exactly, it's a different decade, though.
Yeah, they did not, to me, ever capture the feel of the movies.
No.
At least not the first series. They switched authors, and a new author came in. Matt McCoy, I think is his name, or something McCoy, came in. And he did a much better job. But really, they went way too much with the supernatural, paranormal. And he became more like a paranormal investigator than an archaeologist.
Right.
And
I think that's why everyone hated the last one with the crystal skull, because it was like Close Encounters of the Third Kind meets Indiana Jones.
I think that film could have been saved. There was all the elements of an Indiana Jones film was there, and even the little bit of science fiction-y element to it, I didn't mind that. And I think it really came down to is we did so much in the previous films as far as special effects, as far as stunts and things like that, that we need to top that. We need to show that Harrison Ford at 50 is every bit the action hero he was at 30. And they went so far overboard, I feel, that it took away from what could have been a very touching, very moving plot about connecting with his son and reconnecting with Marion and all these things like that. It was all there. It just didn't.
Well, they glossed over the warm fuzzies
with
a very subpar plot.
Yep.
And, yeah, the special effects. And all I saw with the monkeys in the trees was Ewoks.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Come on. Tarzan? Really? He's going to swing from the vines? I mean, not that Indiana Jones isn't known for over the top. I mean,
Very true.
Jumping out of a plane in a raft, you know, and landing on a mountain and so forth. But the way they filmed it was believable.
It was, and
we could go along for the ride with it.
Mm-hmm.
In this, there was no believability factor. It was just, I mean, like the whole refrigerator thing. I mean, come on. You nuke a town, refrigerators get melted.
Yes.
I don't care what they're lined with. No. You know, I'm sorry. That would have been Indiana goo coming out of that thing. Not Jones, Indiana goo. Head. So, yeah. You know.
So with the current comic book movies, because I know you're a huge comic fan.
Oh, yeah.
Is there one that, like, is now an all-time favorite? I mean, have they let you down at all? Or where are you sitting on those?
So this is the weird thing. And this is the one I did not think I would enjoy as much as any of the other ones. As much as I love my Avengers and Ant-Man and the Spider-Man films, I didn't even mind the Andrew Garfield reboots and stuff like that as much as other people.
Right.
As much as I enjoy the one that I cannot stop watching, I can just sit down and watch start to finish over and over again, is Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy
I was preaching that movie from the start.
Is the film for my for people like me. It is everything that I am in that film.
So what is is it the right mix of comic versus Star Wars? I mean, what's the warm fuzzy for you?
You know what? It's the feeling of like most of us in the 80s growing up, we felt alien. Because look what was around us, you know, sports heroes, and that was what people were into, was the, you know, I mean, especially growing up in a small town in Wisconsin, there were no other geeks around me.
I grew up in Wisconsin as well, and Lena, there's nothing out there.
No, I was in Wausau. We had, yeah, I know, I have an uncle in Wausau. So, you know, and then it wasn't even in the town, I was outside a suburb of a small town.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that regard, you know, we had a comic book shop that would, that opened and closed almost within a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and other shops like that, game stores opened and closed quickly. So, you know, these things that and this is before the internet, so, you know, you couldn't special order,
no.
you know, and things like that. So my comic books were bought from a grocery store. And
off the spinner.
Yeah, exactly. In packs of three sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a score back in the day.
The middle one. You never knew what the middle one was going to be. And it was like, oh, sweet, the Invaders. Yes. And so growing up, I felt alien, you know. And so to, like Peter Quill is feeling alone. He's feeling, you know, not connected to his family. He's feeling an orphan. And all of that, and all of a sudden, like, aliens show up and say, hey, guess what? We're gonna make you one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds out that these guys are not necessarily his real family, and he builds his own. And that's what we do in the science fiction community. We build our own families, because a lot of times our families out there don't know who we are.
They don't
connect with us.
It.
Don't have the interests that we do. And so we build a family of our friends who share the same interests with us and so forth. So, you know, and not only that, come on, kick-ass soundtrack.
Yes.
I mean, that is exactly why.
But there wasn't a Journey song on there, though.
No, there wasn't.
And that's the only thing I could think of, that there should have been a Journey song on there somewhere.
Well, you know, I think Journey's overplayed for that era. I mean, come on. Ever since Clinton, there is, you know, just really, if I don't ever hear Don't Stop Believing again or any of that stuff, you know.
Could have thrown me a little Queen, though, maybe.
You know, well, there's another movie coming.
There's another movie coming.
Oh, my God. If you're a Queen fan, by the way, if anybody's a Queen fan, you got to tune in to a band called The Struts. They are the next evolution of Queen. They are
really
amazing.
The Struts?
The All Struts. Right. Their album just streeted on the 4th of March. It's called Everybody Wants, and it is orchestral rock the way that we grew up with. It is glam. It is prog rock, and it has the modern sensibility. So yeah, it's great. The Struts. I saw them when they were in town. They're amazing. So if you're a Queen fan, you know, especially if you're a Highlander fan, you know.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to listen to. I don't know when this is going to air, but Rocky Mountain Con announced will be announcing a big guest. For Rocky Mountain Con that you will like.
Ooh.
For Highlander.
Does his name sound French?
Oui.
Very cool. I have some stuff to sign.
Yes. So the task of a writer is laborious.
Right.
And it's a lot of weight to carry. I mean, how do you... what's your process? Because you're not the typical angsty writer.
Oh, don't assume. Don't assume. I work out a lot of stuff through my fiction. I had major heartbreak last year, and I'm still killing a lot of people in my fiction for that one.
I will eviscerate you in fiction.
Yeah,
love it.
So to give you an example, so my mom died 3 years ago,
okay.
And one of the first things I did was write a story about a guy who lost his mom and has been searching alternate realities for another version of her.
Oh, okay. So kind of a take on Sliders.
A little bit, yes. Okay. And so this story is about him trying to replace what he thinks he needs, you know, to be able to grow up, to be able to live a normal life. He thinks he needs to have his mom with him. But ultimately, it's about finding your own voice and being able to stand on your own and things like that.
Okay.
And that was very hard for me because my mom, I'd lost my dad, you know, fairly young. And then my mom had been my best friend.
She was your rock.
Yeah, exactly. Everything from spiritual guidance to, you know, financial support in a lot of ways. Because, you know, writing doesn't pay very well until you're famous.
That's right. Not until you get Stephen King numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes down to it, I worked out a lot of stuff in that story that helped me be able to move on with my life. And I've done that with the loss of friends. I've done that with the loss of love. I have done that with loss of jobs and things like that. I have a character, and I just signed a deal for this character. His name is Trace Walker, and these are straight mysteries, not sci-fi, paranormal, cross-genre mysteries.
Right.
They're straight mysteries. The Trace Walker Mysteries is about a guy who does temp work, and every time he goes on a temp job, he finds a murder or a crime or something like that, and he has to solve it. And these are 1,000-word stories, so they're very short.
Okay.
And I just signed a deal with Gumshoe Review to do one of these a month for the next year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So it's going to be like a serial then for a while?
It'll be a serial. So every month, Trace Walker is going to be going out there, taking a temp job, and finding a crime. And that's what I do, is I do temp work. So, you know, I work out a lot of issues from temp jobs that I've been on in this fiction. I've killed bosses that I have not liked working with, and coworkers and things like that. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That is awesome.
So don't think that there isn't the angst there. It's just...
very well disguised.
Yeah, it's you got to read between the lines.
Now, do you enjoy more science fiction? Or, I mean, have you been pulled towards, like, horror or the Western or just a plain old fiction novella?
Weird Western is actually my favorite. I'm really enjoying writing Weird Westerns. And it's one thing that I sell consistently enough that the fact that I enjoy writing them and then I'm also selling them is really good. That's one of the best things is when you can do something that you love and then also get paid for it, you know.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah.
When you can get a paycheck for what you love doing.
Yeah, exactly. So Weird Westerns is a good one. But then I just got hired by the Pinnacle Entertainment Group, the guys who make Savage Worlds RPG.
Yep.
And I'm writing in their Ripper's Resurrected universe, which is Victorian horror. And Victorian horror is fun. And it's in the same period as the Westerns, but on a different continent.
Right.
And so a lot different of the
different social status.
Yeah, and different social statuses and stuff like that. So it's good that I get to, you know, the technology and the era and stuff like that is all very similar. So that's a lot of fun as well. You know, I will write whatever anybody wants to pay me to write, whether it's pulp heroes, fiction, you know, fan fiction, or not fan fiction, media tie-ins and stuff like that. I'll write whatever as long as there's a paycheck in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty easy where that's concerned. I am your fiction whore.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not whatever.
So if someone wanted to follow you or order your books, what's the best way to... I mean, you're on the Twitties and all
that
stuff?
I tweet occasionally. I'm more on Facebook than anything else. You can find me on Facebook just under my name, David Boop. There's not many of me, so...
You're kind of a one-of-a-kind.
Yeah, which is why I decided to keep the real name as opposed to, you know, a pen name. And it also puts me next to Ben Bova, which is really cool.
That's nice. That works out well.
Yeah. You can find me on Facebook. I have a fan page there, and I do updates there that also send out to my Twitter account. Just the easiest way is to go to Amazon.com and actually put in my name. I have a author page there. I'm currently in redevelopment of my website for the relaunch of my novel, She Murdered Me With Science, which is coming out from Wordfire Press this summer. Should be ARCs available at DCC and then at Worldcon, the book. We're doing a book launch, and then we're doing a book party here in Denver sometime in August or September.
Oh, wow. So you got, like, quite a lot on deck, don't you?
Oh, dude, that's not even half of it. So there's the Rippers. There's She Murdered Me With Science. There's Trace Walker. And I'm also working on a YouTube video, an animated YouTube video, working on a light novel for those manga anime fans out there. Working on that. And I'm working on a television pilot. Working with Steven Sears of Xena fame. He just critiqued my pilot, and once I stopped crying long enough to be able to see the pages in front of me again, how much
red was there?
Oh, so much red. I'm like, wait, did I write this in red? Because there's no black left. But it's good. It's good because, you know, it's like it's actually getting feedback from a person who has done this. It's not just getting feedback from a professor in college who's never actually sold anything to Hollywood.
Right.
It is good stuff, and I love it. So I'm working on that. I just met a comic book artist I want to work with, there's a lot of stuff. My mentor, Kevin J. Anderson, he talks about the popcorn theory of success, where you throw a bunch, you don't just throw one kernel on a fry pan and wait for it to pop. You have to throw a bunch of things, and you don't know what's going to pop first. And you just keep throwing those kernels on, and eventually, hopefully, you get fed.
Yeah, sooner or later, you get a hit. What's your next con? Where are you going to be next?
Next weekend, I'm going to be at Silicon Valley San Jose. Yeah, I go all over the country. So
Intercontinental.
I'll be at Silicon Valley. After that, I believe I'm going to be at World Horror in Salt Lake. And I think I'm working on Phoenix Comic Con. And, of course, I'm doing World Con in Kansas City.
Of course.
I'm doing MissCon in Missoula. I'm just all over the place.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Well, I will let you get out of here because I know you got a panel to do.
Thank you.
And I don't want to keep you too long, but what are you looking most forward to for the con? What panel?
Oh, let's see. At this con, well, I'm really hoping to get a chance to meet Michael Dorn. I actually bought a copy of his novel. He's a writer.
I did not know that.
Yep.
See, I just thought he was an actor and just showed up on Castle every once in a while.
Well, yeah, you know, and those are great episodes. You know, it's like, you know, if he was my psychoanalyst, my psychologist, I would do anything he said.
Exactly. Just for the voice alone, yeah. It's like taking direction from Morgan Freeman.
No, I want you to meditate today. Okay, I'm meditating. Done. I'm meditating. Don't hurt me.
Done.
Yeah, it was like, you know. I want you to put your five bucket list things in order according to importance, you know, and I'm like, sure, whatever you say, just don't hurt me.
Don't hurt me. Put the chakra sticks away.
Yeah, but I would like to meet him, get that book signed. You know what? For me, being here is like coming home. I used to, many years ago, people probably don't know this, but I used to be very big into anime. I ran anime clubs here in Colorado. I was involved in anime on a national level. I distributed it and stuff like that. I used to run the anime room here for Starfest at this hotel in that closet around the corner.
Back in the early 90s.
Yeah, in the mid 90s, but for me. And so coming, it's like coming home. It's like seeing people I haven't seen probably in decades. It's hanging out with other writers and networking. You know, I don't worry so much about the panels as much as, you know, selling enough books to pay for the food at the hotel. So I enjoy being here. It's good people. The fans are amazing. The guests are amazing. It's just a good time.
All right, Dave, I'll let you get out of here. You are on a ticking clock. Jesus, if I could get it out of my mouth. You write it. I can't speak it.
Well, you know, I have to edit.
And if you're doing an anime video, hello.
Yeah.
I need some voice work.
Oh, very good.
Toss me a bone.
I will keep that in mind. Yeah, absolutely. We've already laid down preliminary audio tracks. So the animator's working on it right now. But we'll probably have to go back in again. So if this is successful, it's based on one of my flash fictions. If awesome. It's successful, we'll do other ones. But this is a demo for a guy who wants to get into animation and stuff like that. So it was a rare opportunity.
Perfect. So. All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for sitting down with us. And I
Absolutely.
Look forward
thank
to
you for
chatting
me.
You up again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
See
you. All right.